Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, October 28th, 2014. And with me today, I have, I'll just go ahead and succumb to what has become the wizard and the guru.
Very good.
Yep. That voice was John Martellaro. Glad to have you on the show today, John.
Good morning, Jeff.
And Kelly Gumont, it's always great to have you on the show, too.
It's lovely to be here. And before we get too far down the road, I just want to say happy birthday to one of our regular listeners, Mr. Ben Rathig, who was a regular guest over on the after show with me and on the 2-Hour Talkcast. And I hope he's having a wonderful day.
I didn't realize it was Ben's birthday. Happy birthday, Ben. Have some cake. And it's okay to go pants-free. I said so.
It is indeed.
All right. So the first topic I want to take, actually, no, that's not how this works today. Today, it's all about interfaces. So the first interface-related thing I wanted to take a look at is this video that someone put together based on the idea of what if you took the Apple Watch interface and scaled it up to the iPhone?
World's worst idea. It drove me crazy. I could hardly stand to look at it. It's busy. It's designed for an iWatch. The reason that interface exists is because you cannot do on an iWatch what you can do on a display of an iPhone. So to reverse it is monumental lunacy.
Don't hold back, John. How do you really feel?
I really wish we could get John to give us an opinion once in a while.
I know. So I don't look at this as an interface that I want on my iPhone, but I like it as an experiment, as a little thing where we're playing around with different interfaces and learning what does and doesn't work. And I like the idea of thinking outside the box, especially when it comes to our touch interfaces, because every time we can improve them and make them more efficient, that's something that I think we should seriously look at doing.
But it's not more efficient. You know what it looks like? It looks like one of those personal phones from one of those sci-fi series, the high-tech series like Intelligence, which was canceled, where you have a swarm of apps, and the apps swarm around you like little mosquitoes, you know, doink, doink, and you're in this swarm, you know, and then you pick out just the one you want, and it lights up and says, "Hi, how can I serve you?"
Okay.
It's crazy.
I need a moment to channel my inner Chevy Chase. John, you ignorant slut. I didn't take this as here's an alternate way to interact with your iPhone. When I watched it, it was, to me, the thing that I got out of it was, since you have a bigger screen, you can sort of see the rest of what's happening with the apps and where they are and how they interact. And so to me, it was just sort of showing, almost like showing the behind the scenes of what the watch interface actually looks like and actually operates as. So to me, it looked really nifty as a thing. It didn't ever occur to me that somebody was trying to perpetuate this as some sort of way that you could actually interact with your phone in a useful fashion.
We have regular size
icons for that.
It's conceptualizing.
It's just an idea. Maybe for some people, it's super handy to have it that way. Like if you're somebody who had some need where
you're a beekeeper maybe.
All right, so this is conceptualizing, and
I just thought it was a neat idea,
and while I do not want this as the interface on my iPhone,
no,
what I liked out of it, the pieces that I saw where it's like, oh, that's interesting, it was based on what are new ways that we can put the focus on whatever it is that you are most interested on at this moment. And the whole thing with you're spinning the icons around and it always stops. So there's one icon centered. And I saw that and I was like, okay, so here's an idea about giving us focus in a new way. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that as the end process, but seeing that, I was like, okay, yeah, there are other ways where we could make an interface more efficient.
How about this? I, I'm being very contrary this morning. How about this? You know, you have your dots at the bottom of the iOS display for your different pages. Mm-hmm. How about if you touch just to the right of those dots and then they blow up to 7 or 8 big dots, and then you drag the dots between the dots to change the ordering of the pages instead of having to shuffle the apps around to make the pages look like you want. You just shuffle the pages to change the order of the pages.
The opportunity to do that on your phone would be really cool. I've done that in iTunes to organize stuff, but to be able to have that option on the phone would be super handy.
That would be awesome. I would love that.
I kind of like the idea.
Outside the box. I like this.
The thing that I thought was interesting about it was, to me, it sort of seemed like a more dynamic way to see your apps. Like maybe what you could do is have
dynamic. By dynamic, she means confusing.
No, what I mean is by use. Like I have a lot of stuff on my phone that I don't necessarily use all the time. So I sort of liked the idea of maybe a dynamic first page where the stuff that you use the most is what's populated there. And so, you know, if I'm using messages all the time, then when I go to this page, I see messages featured very prominently. And if maybe it's a day where I'm not using OmniFocus as much, maybe it's the weekend, or I'm not using the calendar app as often or whatever, maybe those things get shuffled off to a later page. And I just sort of liked the idea of it sort of dynamically adjusting what the apps are that you see.
Yeah, but the point is that with that Lucas Meng demonstration, it puts all the apps on the same footing. And what you were just describing was a way to make some apps more important than others, which is what Apple does with these pages. Mm-hmm. But when you have a swarm, like in this demo, all the apps seem to me to be on the same footing, which is just not what we want.
No, it's not. But like I said, I didn't expect this to be the interaction mechanism. I just thought it was kind of a neat idea because it showed me a little more about how the interface would work on the watch, because so far all we've really seen of it is the bit that we saw during the event. And so I thought it was kind of cool to check out.
You know, what would be cool in an interface like that is to tag your apps. And so the important apps would be blue and cluster in the top left, and the unimportant apps would be yellow and cluster in the bottom right. And so you could bring up a cluster of important apps.
Also super cool. I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I like that too. And see, well, John, you've been all, yeah, end of the world. This is horrible. And I know I'm exaggerating, but, you know, it's okay. The whole thing for me was, let's look at different ways we can make the iPhone interface better. And while the whole spinning a swarm of icons around doesn't necessarily do it for me, it's making us think. And here we are doing all this what if stuff, and I'm loving it.
It's the icon. Mm-hmm. It's the icon bees.
It's better than icon flies.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
you know,
true.
I've often thought from time to time, here we are 7 years into iOS, and we still have pages we can't reorder, and we still have jiggling icons. And I've often thought, you know, when is it going to be time to radically improve that interface? And this demo is good in that sense, because it gets our creative juices flowing about, you know, the next generation of iOS GUI. Mm-hmm. So that is cool in that sense.
Over right. And that was all I got from it. Was not like this should be the future of it. So I thought it was awesome.
I was just being contrarian this morning, as is my wont.
Awesome.
And that's okay. I'm okay with that. All right. So here's some.
Now we're all going to violently agree.
I have a feeling that's exactly what's about to happen. So iTunes 12.
Let me fire up my wood chipper.
yeah. So what brought this part of our discussion on today is the fact that that I wrote a tip this morning explaining how to make iTunes 12 look and act more like iTunes 11. And so what I did was I got rid of the album view and I took it back to the list music view, added in columns so that I can see the genre and the artists and the albums. And then I brought back the sidebar showing all of my playlists. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, okay, so this isn't as pretty with colorful icons and everything is what Apple is giving us by default with iTunes 12. But it's now usable and it's now functional. And I'm looking at that. I'm like, okay, here's a problem. I'm getting an application and the first thing I have to do is completely change up the interface so I can actually do something with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that brings up the question of the factoring of iTunes and the modernization of iTunes. And it seems to me like Apple's kind of flopping around here, trying to home in on a more sensible interface because it was already pretty complicated. And I think the thinking was is that if we just simplify the interface, we'll have achieved our goals of making it more usable, when in fact people already had a pretty simple idea about how to approach it. So it seems to me like moving in the wrong direction. I mean,
absolutely.
Simplicity also implies lack of flexibility. And if you choose the wrong simplicity path, people get frustrated. So, you know, I like simple, but I also like flexible. So, you know, I was in the AT&T store the other day at the mall, and I was talking to the rep, and he said just about every Fire phone he sold has been returned. And I asked him why, and he said it's because lack of customizability. People couldn't make it look like and act like they wanted to. So, you know, if for Apple to simplify this in the sense of taking away your ability to do things like you just described, Jeff, I think it's the wrong direction.
Yeah, and it's very frustrating because I love my music. I love listening to my music. I love listening to my music on my terms. And I feel as if iTunes is being intentionally pushed down a path where listening to my music is secondary to giving me content
beats.
Yeah. Giving my me music, content that I'm paying for independently of what I already own.
My music, my way.
Here's my concern about the direction of iTunes. It's not that it's gotten more simple. It's not that they're trying to streamline it. Those are things that Apple has done for many years and generally gets applauded for. And I'm glad that they're trying to iterate the interface, and I do want to give them credit for that. It is a good thing that they're at least considering it. However, the biggest problem with the current version of iTunes, and I've only seen one person say this, and it was Kirk McElhern, and I'm sorry if I'm screwing up your last name, Kirk, who wrote a piece that basically said, I no longer have a clear expectation of what will happen when I push a button, when I switch views, when I do something. I don't know what to expect. And that is bad design. The end. If you can't have a reasonable expectation of what's going to happen when you interact with a piece of software, it's a problem. And it goes, it doesn't have to go any further than that for me to be unhappy about it. Now, I know I've gone on about iTunes before, so I'm going to try and keep this to a minimum, but I really, 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 really think that the solution to iTunes right now is an axe. And I don't mean this like I mean feed it to the wood chipper.
C4.
Yeah, I don't mean this like I mean that solution. What I mean is chop it up the way they did on iOS. We need the place for music, and maybe it's like it was before where you could listen to your own or you could buy some other, and that's fine. You need a separate utility for syncing your iPhone. So the way we have image capture now, as a straight utility that you can use, you plug in your phone, you get your pictures off with it. I would like the same thing for backing up my phone to my computer, just a straight little utility that nobody even has to know about, that somebody can just discover in their utilities folder one day and go, oh, hey, what's this for? Just like a lot of people didn't realize image capture was a thing. I want that to be a separate thing. And then I want the buying of, and maybe that goes in with the buying of apps. Like you manage all your apps and your phone through one utility and you manage your music in another. And all you have to do is say in one of them, you know, you go to the iPhone utility and you say, I want to sync this playlist out of iTunes, and you call it a day. And that's all I want.
Kelly, I think you're on the right track, but the wrong user interface. I've seen disk utility apps that have like showcase of different icons that are presented to you. And each you click on each, it's sort of like CoverFlow. And as you scroll over each one of these square icons, it says, okay, we're going to do a disk defragment, or we're going to do a disk directory check, or we're going to do mm-hmm. something else. And as you scroll CoverFlow over these different options, it's all one app, but it's segregated environments. I fear that if you had a backup app, and you had a photo transfer app, and you had a music player app and a store app, that people would lose the thread of the cohesion of all these functions. And that's how iTunes came to be so complex. So if you had a user interface where you could select the environment you wanted to be in at first in one app, and it would cast you into the right kind of environment, and then you wouldn't lose the thread of all these different apps and what they do. What do you think?
It's just the idea. Like, I'm just trying to put something out there as, like, even this would be better. Because we already have the image capture for your phone, like, for people who want to back up their photos but don't necessarily need to back up their entire phone because iCloud handles the rest of that, but they want to keep right. their photos on their computer. You can fire up image capture, scoop all your pictures off, and move on with your life. So I like your idea of the CoverFlow and the separate apps. I know there has to be a better way to do this than we're doing it now. Yeah. And the reason I thought it might be better to separate them is because then you wouldn't have to worry so much about the cohesive experience. You wouldn't have to worry so much about having to sweat such different user interfaces and trying to jam them all into the same place. Because right now, to me, it feels really disjointed. And I would much rather, I know this is probably because they're trying to warn me off of actual local backups or whatever, but for me, it's very frustrating. And it's more frustrating for me because I have a second wave of, like, I have to figure all of this out for myself. I have to know how it works. I have to know how to troubleshoot it. And then I have to know because my family and my friends will call me and say, how come it doesn't work like this anymore? What do I do? And I hate having to give the answer of, this is how things are now, and I'm sorry that it sucks.
You know, I don't have a problem with change.
Me either.
When change is a good thing, and it makes my life easier and better, bring it on. But when it's a change that creates a new way of doing something that seems obtuse and does not help my workflow, whether it's Precisely. A personal or professional workflow on some level, then I have to question why that change was made. Mm-hmm. And actually, we're out of time, so I'm going to have to wrap up. I know.
We'll have to answer that question another day.
And what I'm hoping is that Apple has something up their sleeve that's going to be much better than iTunes and makes us all happy. And I'm not going to hold my breath because I'm pretty sure my lips don't look good when they're blue.
They could ship a sharp stick in the box of the iPhone and say, jam this in your eye instead of using iTunes, and it would be a better experience.
Not as sanitary, but better.
Better. Yeah.
So, John, thank you for joining me today. And Kelly, thank you too.
As always.
It's always great to have both of you on.
Let's continue this discussion.
Yes.
We should come back and do this tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.